Hello, this is my Lenten diary for February the 22nd, 2018. Today is Thursday in the first week of Lent. My mom grew up on a farm, and I think my dad always wished he had grown up on a farm. So it was only natural that after we finally settled in our little suburban home north of Richmond, Virginia, when I was a child, that the first spring that came around would be the year the two of them would undertake backyard gardening. It was the usual array of backyard garden vegetables, squash, cucumbers, various sorts of beans. My dad did try a row of corn one time. That didn't work out so well. Okra. There were a couple of attempts at watermelons, I think mostly to placate my sister and me. But the plant that was always there, and indeed the plant that my dad enjoyed the most, was the tomato plant. And my dad didn't go to the local garden store and simply buy some plants already up above soil. Oh no. He planted and raised his tomato plants from seeds. We would have little Dixie cups arrayed in our laundry room for what seemed like weeks on end as we waited for the first little bit of green to poke out of the potting soil. My dad was fastidious with taking care of these tender plants. And we would have them growing in the utility room long before they were ready to be outside in the garden. And then would come the day when the plants would be large enough that they could survive out on their own. They would get transplanted to the garden, and then would begin the months-long tending and caring for these plants, making sure that they were protected from marauding rabbits, making sure that they had the right amount of pesticide, but not too much, to keep them from being the food of whatever sorts of insects love to eat tomato plants. And then there would come the time where the plants themselves would have to be staked. That's where you put a pole beside it, and usually we would have ripped up shreds of sheet, bed sheets, to keep the plant up straight so that the fruit, once the fruit came in, the tomatoes wouldn't lie on the ground. Then there was the excitement when the little yellow flowers came about, the tending to keep off all manner of varmint when the first green tomatoes arrived. And finally, if everything went well, at the end of the season, usually in Virginia, somewhere around August, the tomatoes would begin to ripen, and we would have bumper crops of tomatoes. Tomatoes everywhere, giving away bags of tomatoes. Tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. I ate bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. I had sliced tomatoes with my scrambled eggs. We had tomato and mayonnaise sandwiches on Wonder Bread. Tomatoes. My mother would can and stew tomatoes so that we would have tomatoes for the winter. It was a whole tomato enterprise. Now, I remember one year my dad said to me, because I think I probably asked him, "What is it with you and tomatoes?" And he grinned and he said, "Well, I think the first thing is that it's remarkably hard to mess up a tomato plant." Now, I've messed up tomato plants, so I take issue with that. But he said, "It is the perfect plant to grow from start to finish." He said, "And in my world, there's nothing quite as miraculous as the growth of a plant from a seed through to producing its fruit, which contains within them, the fruits, the seeds of the next generation." He said, "Really, all I'm doing is taking care of the thing. I have no control whatsoever of how the plant runs its world or runs its life. I'm simply making space for it. The plant grows, he said, through a combination of nature, and then he winked, and a lot of help from the good Lord. Well, I think that's probably a good metaphor to think about the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that our daily office reading brings us today. And so here's that passage. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field. Here ends the reading. Paul understood something fundamental that I think is helpful for those of us in this time in the life of the church to remember. We don't own it. The gospel is not our private possession. The church does not belong to us. The church was here before we got here. The church will be here after we leave. Maybe not a local congregation living its life out in a bricks and mortar building, but the gospel of Jesus will continue to bear fruit in God's kingdom until God draws the curtain on time itself. So where does that leave us as we look around in a culture that is remarkably self-centered, is remarkably made up of folks who think they've got to do it all on their own, remarkably made up of big personalities and huge egos? Paul, who had some right to boast and who did his own fair share of boasting, he really understands his place in the field that is God's kingdom. He was a planter. He was a planter in some places and a waterer in others. Maybe he helped fend off an enemy or two against the tiny seed-like faith of some new believers. But he knew in the end that the fruitfulness of his work was not in his control. It came from God, who gives the growth. I'm thinking a lot about that in terms of what it means to be a priest in God's church. I don't get a say over when the harvest shows up. My job is to be that of my dad, the backyard farmer, taking care of the tender plants, doing the watering, doing the making sure that the varmints stay out, attending to the daily necessities of the plants. And to remember, too, that I'm a plant as well, and that someone in God's great big kingdom is taking care of me. Last week, when I was standing on the street corner doing ashes to go, I had a lady come up to me and ask for prayers. And after we finished praying, she had just experienced the loss of her husband. After we had finished praying, she said, "I don't know what good y'all are doing." Well, she didn't say y'all because she wasn't a Southerner. "I don't know what good you're doing for all of Wauwatosa standing here on the street corner. But today, you were good for my soul." I'll take that. The gospel is not a manufacturing enterprise. It's a farming enterprise. One seed, one drop of water, one bit of care at a time. And we all depend upon each other, because in the end, it's God that gives the growth. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who declares your glory and shows forth your handiwork in the heavens and in the earth. Deliver us in our various occupations from the service of self alone, that we may do the work you give us to do in truth and beauty, and for the common good, for the sake of him who came among us as one who serves, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.